track, it is getting old. Kids are different today, I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down. And though she's not really ill, there's a little yellow pill. She goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper, and it helps her on her way through your busy dying day.
Welcome to my presentation. Today we're going to talk about mental illness and the Urantia book and what the Urantia book has to say. And you'd be surprised. It helps us really understand the nature and the conflict of many forms of mental illness, something that psychiatry could use a lot of information on today in helping to treat people who are suffering from anxiety and other ailments of the mind. Consider the story of Fortune, the young boy alone in the hills, from page 130 in the life and teachings of the Urantia book. At first, Jesus tries to console the young man, but the lad doesn't engage with the stranger. Jesus persists by asking the boy for directions. The boy then opens up and helps Jesus, which then Jesus uses to say to Fortune, "Your mind should be your courageous ally in the solution of your life problems, rather than your being, as you have been, its abject fear slave and the bond servant of depression and defeat. But most valuable of all, your potential of real achievement is the spirit which lives within you, and which will stimulate and inspire your mind to control itself and activate the body if you will release it from the fetters of fear." But here is where we learn of the importance of the spiritual component, for Jesus says, "And thus enable your spiritual nature to begin your deliverance from the evils of inaction by the power presence of living faith. And then forthwith will this faith vanquish fear of men by the compelling presence of that new and all-dominating love of your fellows, which will so soon fill your soul to overflowing because of the consciousness which has been born in your heart that you are a child of God. This is the Son of Man sharing a vitally important approach every single psychiatrist should pay attention to. And how many times did our Master tell his disciples, fear not? Fear is a poison, iterated many times in the Urantia book. Man is a fear-based creature. Consider the following passages we find littered throughout the Revelation. From paper 36, wisdom is the goal of a purely mental and moral existence. From paper 65, the domains of physical, mental, and spiritual gravity are distinct realms of cosmic reality. From paper 110, it is to the mind of perfect poise, housed in a body of clean habits, stabilized neural energies, and balanced chemical function, when the physical, mental, and spiritual powers are in triune harmony of development. Mind on Urantia is a compromise between the essence of thought perfection and the evolving mentality of your immature human nature. Too often, all too often, you mar your minds with insincerity and sear them with unrighteousness. You subject them to animal fear and distort them by useless anxiety. Let us now consider the power of prayer as an effective lever in dealing with mental anxiety. Consider the following. From paper 91, prayer is not a technique for curing real and organic diseases, but it has contributed enormously to the enjoyment of abundant health and to the cure of numerous mental, emotional, and nervous ailments. And even in actual bacterial disease, prayer has many times added to the efficacy of other remedial procedures. Prayer constitutes a technique of the most efficient approach to the realization of those reserve powers of human nature which are stored and conserved in the unconscious realm of the human mind. Prayer is a sound psychological practice, aside from its religious implications and its spiritual significance. It is a fact of human experience that most persons, if sufficiently hard-pressed, will pray in some way to some source for help. Paper 91, we learned that prayer has ever been and ever will be a twofold human experience, a psychological procedure interassociated with a spiritual technique. And these two functions of prayer can never be fully separated. And then finally, there's this about prayer. No bird can soar except by outstretched wings. Prayer elevates man because it is a technique of progressing by the utilization of the ascending spiritual currents of the universe. How about ego, self-importance, and narcissism? These also contribute to the common affliction of anxiety in the modern age. From paper 48, we learn, you will learn that you increase your burdens and decrease the likelihood of success by taking yourself too seriously. Self-importance, not work importance, exhausts immature creatures. It is the self-element that exhausts, not the effort to achieve. You can do important work if you do not become self-important. You can do several things as easily as one if you leave yourself out of it. And from Moda philosophy, we learn from paper 48, effort does not always produce joy, but there is no happiness without intelligent effort. The greatest affliction of the cosmos is to never have been afflicted. Mortals can only learn wisdom by experiencing tribulation. Anxiety must be abandoned. The disappointments hardest to bear are the ones that never come. And then finally, how a relationship with God or a supreme spiritual connection to the divine source can aid in alleviating mental illness. Modern man is perplexed by the thought of talking things over with God in a purely personal way. Many have abandoned regular praying. They only pray when under unusual pressure, in emergencies. Man should be unafraid to talk to God. But only a spiritual child would undertake to persuade or presume to change God. And these are just a few statements that address mental anguish. Taking a holistic approach to life, the revelation puts a great emphasis on spirituality as a more effective therapy for resolving mental anxieties, illustrated in Jesus' approach to fortune, the young man in the hills. The mental health industry should be open to encouraging patients to pray. It's the spirit within the mind as an ally in fighting against fear and anxiety, which so often besets mortal man as he tries to make his way through the complex maze of modern society. Drugs cannot be the only answer to treating mental illness. Many might argue we are not treating the affliction, but merely masking it, dampening our access to our spirit reservoirs that can aid people in resolving emotional conflicts. Perhaps we can take a cue from our unseen friends and acknowledge the benefits of faith in alleviating fear in modern man. In our communities, our teachers of this great book show us that faith, prayer, and service are powerful tools we can utilize to improve mental health and have a real application for improving man's happiness on earth. We should encourage people to use faith, prayer, and communion with God and as positive therapy, open to anyone of faith or even to those who have no faith but who suffer from fear-driven anxiety. Thank you for your time.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. Look down upon me, Jesus. You gotta help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would